This morning, it's my honor to introduce our guest minister. He is a retired Disciples minister, Stan McDougall. Pastor Stan graduated from Transylvania with a BA in 1970 at Lexington Theological Seminary with a master's in divinity in 1993 and Trinity Seminary with a doctorate in 2020. He served congregations in Illinois, Missouri, Michigan, Mississippi, Arkansas, and additionally, he is retired chaplain in the United States Air Force Reserves. Upon his retirement in 2020, Pastor Stan returned to his hometown of Frankfort, Kentucky. He is a Timothy of the First Christian Church. He and his wife, Linda, are members of Central Christian Church in Lexington. They have two children, three granddaughters. And most recently, Pastor Stan has served a number of congregations as interim minister and is currently a member of the Kentuckians Barbershop Chorus. So please join me in welcoming Pastor Stan to Providence to bring us our morning message.
Good morning. It's good to be with you all. It is really good. It's hard to believe, you're doing all the bio that I sent in to Reverend Peter, that just on June 10th, I'll be celebrating my 53rd anniversary of ordination. It's hard to believe. You know, I don't even know where time's gone. But anyway, let's give ear now to hearing God speak to us through the written word. It comes to us from the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter and the first 12 verses. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with him, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they came together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It's not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing upwards toward the heavens, and suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, on the Sabbath day, which is a journey away. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, open to us now the authority of your proclaimed word and the reality of your love. Keep us from gazing into heaven when you will call us to witness on earth. Grant that we may serve the gospel of love as we grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Amen. I need to make a confession to you all this morning. Or admit to you this morning. that last Sunday I didn't feel the best. I didn't feel great. So Lynn and I, even though not feeling good, we journeyed from Frankfort to church downtown to Central. And I still didn't feel great. And I didn't even feel like having my usual donut and my cup of coffee before worship. So I didn't sit in Central's little cafe. And I got up and I went into the sanctuary and I sat down in my pew for a few moments. And you know, it's kind of unusual to sit in a pew after you've been up here for almost 53 years. And I still didn't feel great. So I got up and I went to the parlor at Central. And I laid down on the couch. And I put service on YouTube to listen. And then I said, you know, I don't want to be left out. So I got up and went and stood in the back of the sanctuary for the service of communion. Well, after service, as I waited for Linda, because she sings in the choir and I had to wait for her to take her robe off, I started to feel even worse. Well, I have to admit, I ended up went to the restroom. And I got feeling so bad that I stood at the sink and I absolutely froze. I was scared that I might faint. I couldn't move. I feared that I couldn't even walk to the car. Well, Adam, the church's central security person, asked if I needed an ambulance. And I said yes. I don't know how I got to the chair outside the door of the restroom. But as I sat down, thinking I may have to wait a little bit, before I known, here was the police officer, and it wasn't long after that, here was the EMTs with the ambulance. It wasn't a long wait. So I got this free ride out of Central Christian Church last Sunday on a stretcher. And off to Central Baptist I went. Well, you know, when you go to the emergency room, you wait. And you wait. And you wait. You wait for tests. You wait for the ER doctor. And then you wait for more tests. And you wait. And you still wait for the final results to be discharged or admitted. Of course, I was beginning to feel better by then. And that wait wasn't, I must admit, that wait wasn't bad. And I did get a good report. I did get a health check. You know, I had a good report. I just had an intestinal bug that messed me up. But I got a good clean bill of health out of that. But you know, if you feel bad and you're hurting, the wait seems to be forever. And if you're like me, I don't like to sit and wait. I don't like to stand in lines and wait. But anyway, as I said, my test results were all good. And as I said, I determined I had an intestinal bug. And of course, I was discharged and Linda and I headed back to Frankfort. Is there anything harder than to wait? Well, these first few verses of the Acts of the Apostles function as a theological doorway into the entire book of Acts. We are connected with the early ministry of Jesus, where in the Gospel of Luke, Luke wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day that he was taken up to heaven. and then to now in Acts to the Spirit-empowered mission and narrative of the early church. Both books are addressed to Theophilus, a name which means God's friend or God's beloved, so that he might know the certainty connecting the things to which he had been taught. According to the story, and as Luke relates it to us, Jesus appeared for 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension, which was just a few days ago, which was a period of preparation for the church's mission. And even though today is the day of Pentecost and you're celebrating it next week, we're in that period of time between the ascension and Pentecost. A time of waiting. Waiting for the Spirit. The 40 days signifies preparation or of transition. And we hear the 40 mentioned throughout the scriptures. From the great flood that lasted 40 days and 40 nights, where Israel wandered for 40 years. Moses remained on the mountain for 40 days. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. But then after Jesus appeared those 40 days, since the resurrection, he prepared the disciples for the mission of the church. He, of course, led, according to Luke in the gospel, he led them out as far as Bethany, he lifted his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew them and carried them up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem. Of course, here in the portion that we read from Acts, Luke tells the longer version of the story. We find the disciples gathering together, questioning Jesus of when all is this going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They were waiting for Jesus to fulfill his promise of restoration. But he told them to wait for the promise. It's not your time to know. But don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father which you've heard from me. And that Jesus was taken up before their eyes in the cloud, hidden from sight. And they returned to Jerusalem, to the upper room, and they waited. They waited for another 10 days. When we think about waiting, we want to interpret waiting as being apathetic, indifferent, or even cautious. Now, some of us, by our nature, may be fast, energetic, and very forceful. Some of us may be very cautious and slow, or we might be just a combination of both. Well, Stanley and Daisy were awakened by a large commotion in their hen house. Well, Daisy jumped out of bed. She ran to the hen house. She found the reason for the commotion. There was a large black snake out among the hens. Well, she couldn't find anything with which to kill the snake, so what she did, she stomped on his head with the snake's with her bare foot, and she dare not move. For if she did, that snake would get away. And so she stood there. And she held that snake's head with her foot, waiting for Stanley to come to her rescue. Well, Stanley arrived some 15 minutes later. And when he arrived, he was fully clothed. Every button was buttoned on his shirt. He had put his hat on. He even had a pocket watch hanging from his vest. And as he entered the hen house, he saw his enraged, frantic wife Daisy holding the stake to the ground with her foot, and he says, "Well, if I had known you had caught the snake, I would not have hurried so." No. We don't like to wait. Well, Miss Mary asked her church school class what the word patient meant. Well, little Mabel spoke up and says, patience is when you're sitting in church and the preacher is preaching. And you're sitting there and he's preaching. He keeps preaching. And you keep sitting there. And she said, that's patience. There's times that we cannot wait for God to answer our prayers. And we'll question God and we'll ask and say, when is this dark period in our lives going to end? Is there an answer on the way? Are you sure you heard me, God? As we know, waiting is hard, it's frustrating, and it's even hard in our matters of faith. So what's the answer? Well, waiting, first of all, is a discipline of faith. You know, there are times when we need periods of waiting. Periods where we can be recharged, changed, refreshed, and renewed. And as we wait on God, God provides us periods of time in which we can be strengthened, prepared for what's coming next on our spiritual journey, and even our life journey. In the biblical story, the followers of Jesus were being prepared for the next steps on their journey. And if we read further into the story, they filled the place vacated by Judas by casting lots for Barsabbas and Matthias, with the lot falling on Matthias. When James I. Garfield was president of Hiram College in Ohio, Disciples School, before becoming president, the father of one of his students came up to Reverend Garfield's office and asked if the course of study his son was taking could not be simplified so that his son might be able to go through by a faster route. Well, Reverend Garfield replied, says, certainly. But it all depends upon what you want to make of your son. When God wants to make an oak tree, God takes 100 years. When God wants to make a squash, God requires only 2 months. The prophet Isaiah says to us that those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our waiting is the discipline of faith. Well, waiting also involves an element of prayer. That when the disciples returned back to Jerusalem, they stayed together, joining themselves with those who believed in Jesus, with Mary and his brothers and many other people. And they sought to be one as Jesus prayed that they would be. They stayed together and they prayed, preparing themselves for the job Jesus had told them that they would be prepared to do when the Holy Spirit came. To be witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, there are many ways to prepare for what we believe is coming next. But in the end, it's seeking to do what God would have us do and to see God's promises come true in their midst. And our prayers are of very central importance. Our prayers, our devotion, it's kind of a letting go of ourselves to be open to the mind and the will of God, which can prepare us and open us to the work of the Holy Spirit, which was given to us when we were baptized. It's been noted that some of the greatest moments of history occurred when Christians prayed so intently that God was able to use them as answers to their own prayers. Albert Schweitzer prayed for God to save the people of Africa And God says, I want you to help me. Mother Teresa prayed for God to redeem the needy in India, and God says, I want you to help me. Martin Luther King Jr. prayed to God to free those held in bondage and servitude. And God says, I want you to help me. Waiting involves engaging ourselves in the purposes of God. And as we wait, the challenge is not knowing enough to tell about Jesus. But the challenge is to be empowered to be doing the work of the kingdom. To bring good news to the poor, to release, proclaim release to the captives, to recover sight for the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Well, Terry came to his minister one day to discuss a problem. His minister told him that if it was large enough to affect his life, then it was large enough to affect God's heart and concern. After all, he was a child of God, he belonged to God, and what affected him affected God. So as we wait, we not only wait in faith, but we wait in prayer. And thirdly, our waiting is rewarded. You see, 10 days following Jesus' ascension on the day of Pentecost, which is today, which again you celebrate next week, the disciples were together in one place, and suddenly the sound came from heaven like a rush of a mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire rested upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, their waiting was what rewarded. When we wait, we too are rewarded. The problems in whatever we face in our life, our decisions improve as they're put off, as they're prayed over, and to simmer in our hearts for a while. In his confession, St. Augustine tells of his mother praying all night in a seaside chapel in North Africa. Praying that God would not let her son sail for Italy. She wanted Augustine to be Christian. But she could not endure losing him from her influence. And if under her care, he was still far from being Christ, what he would be in Italy, home of low morals and alluring temptations. And even while she prayed passionately for her son to stay home, he sailed by the grace of God for Italy. There he was persuaded by Ambrose to become Christian in the very place that his mother had prayed that he would not go. God answered her prayer, not in the way that she envisioned. As Augustine himself put it, thou in the depths of thy counsels, hearing the main point of her desires, regardest not what she then asked, that thou makest me what she ever desired. Well, you know, sometimes the reasons we have to wait, they're not clear to us. Sometimes we learn the answer earlier than we ever thought. Sometimes the answer comes in a different form than we requested. Sometimes we're told no. Sometimes we're told to go slow. Sometimes we're told to wait. And sometimes we're told to go ahead. But in the end, our waiting is rewarded. So on our spiritual journey of faith, we learn to wait with patience because God is never off schedule, nor is God ahead of schedule or behind schedule. But God is always on time. Thanks be to God. Amen.